If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 17, for the reading of the Word of God. Exodus chapter number 17. The thought that I have in my heart this morning, in my ministry, I don't think I've ever addressed, but I'm not sure that I've ever heard it addressed, but I do want to say this morning, it is something the Lord has put in my heart. And to preempt the message, just like the message on Wednesday night when we were preaching about unity, I think I made this statement concerning the presidency some time back. We shouldn't always just react to something that happens, but we ought to act before that it happens. And I believe sometimes, I don't know what you believe, but I believe sometimes God gives the pastor messages that are like a preventive medicine that maybe head something off at the pass. You know what I mean? And anytime I preach like this, I don't think, well, somebody said something or something's going on. No, not necessarily. And of course, I told you Wednesday night it wasn't when I was preaching on unity. And this morning, I can tell you emphatically, if there is, I don't know a thing about it. I'm preaching with a clear heart this morning. And I want to talk about something that I believe will be a blessing to the children of God that are here today. We thank the Lord for our visitors. And we just pray that God will bless each one of you that's come this way. In Exodus chapter 17, the Bible said in verse number 1, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? Look at this. They be almost ready to stone me." Then verse 5. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying," here's my text this morning, "is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not?" I want to preach for a little while on that subject this morning. Is the Lord among us or not? Well, my head just opened up and I can hear. Somebody's praying. Amen. I thought I was in a barrel. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I definitely need your help. God, I know that if I'm ever to be a help to your people, you must first help me. Lord, I know what I am without you. Nothing. God, I depend on you this morning to make real in our hearts the message that's before us. And Father, that we wouldn't put up a wall of defense, but Lord, we'd have open hearts and open minds. Lord, all of the Bible was not written to us, but all of the Bible was written for us. This story's in the Bible for our admonition, for our learning. We can learn some things, Lord, from this story. And I pray, dear Father, that today you would help us, and God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I have three simple thoughts this morning to magnify. First of all, I want to look at the cause for such a question, and then the chill in such a question, and then the cure for such a question. Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? I would like to address this morning, and you know, I hope before I get done, you'll be able to say emphatically, hallelujah, he is among us. But let me give you something. I'm going to approach this a little bit later in the message. But churches go through seasons, just like Christians do. There'll be seasons when you go for a while and you don't see anybody saved. If you're not careful, you'll ask the question, is the Lord among us or not? You'll go through seasons when nobody shouts. Not near as many people shouting in this generation as there was in generations gone by. But if you're careful, you'll maybe ask the question, most of us that are here this morning would never say this, Brother John, with our mouth. We'd never walk up to another believer. I'd never walk up maybe to a deacon and say, is the Lord among us or not? The deacon probably would never walk up to the pastor or the Sunday school teacher. But in our hearts, am I being fair enough this morning? Amen. Have there been seasons in the house of God where maybe you thought, Brother Lance in the youth group, is the Lord among us or not? Maybe some Sunday school teacher has thought, is the Lord among us or not? And this morning I pray that God will help me to address this in such a way that we'll never forget it, that we'll glean truth that will transform our lives from the very word of God that's before us. Let's start and look into it this morning. The cause for such a question. First of all, this morning, in the cause, I see that there was a problem with their memory. The Bible encourages God's people over and over and over and over again to remember. Joshua set up stones in different places for the generations to come that they would remember. When Jesus addressed the church at Ephesus that had left their first love, one of the first things he told them to do was remember from whence thou hast fallen. And here the children of God, the children of Israel, are having a problem with their memory. First of all, their long-term memory. They had forgotten their heritage. Listen to me carefully this morning. I'm going somewhere in this message. We may be here a little while this morning. But I tell you, I praise God this morning for this old book. I don't want to forget my heritage. It seems like they had forgotten Abraham and Jacob. They had forgotten Joseph. They had forgotten the king that did know Joseph, Pharaoh that did know Joseph. They had forgotten the hand of the Lord that spared the very children of Israel in setting Joseph up to second in command in Egypt, that they might have corn in the day of famine, that God might spare an entire race of people. They had forgotten how that Joseph told them, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. So there was a problem with their long-term memory. I just want to say it Bible way. Listen, we ought to keep that long-term memory sharp. We ought to thank God that one day there was a group of people met together in a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. And God put it in their heart to start a church. Up on the hill, they built a place called Babel Way. Worked all day in the factory. Come in and work till dark and after dark. Building the buildings that we have around us. I'm just saying this morning, somebody's blazed the trail. And we shouldn't forget the heritage that we have as the children of God. We shouldn't forget that before that, because of what we believe, there were people boiled in oil, burned at the stake. There were people that gave their lives and would not deny the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that he was, my friend, died on an old rugged cross, was buried and rose again. They said, we'll die before we'll give up this precious old gospel. We have a heritage this morning that's precious. And the children of Israel had a lot problem with their long-term memory. They had forgotten their heritage. message and it caused them to ask a question, is the Lord among us or not? Secondly, they had a problem with their short-term memory. They had a problem remembering not only their heritage, but they had a problem remembering their helper. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Honey, listen, it ain't been long. You know, it started there when the rod was lifted out over the waters in Egypt. And God turned the waters to blood. And there was a stench. There was a contest going on with Pharaoh. I mean, this is in their short-term memory. It hadn't been long, my friend, listen. And since the death angel had passed through the land of Egypt, and it started with blood in the river, and the contest ended with blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, and God passed over, my friend, their firstborn, while he killed the firstborn in the land of Egypt. I say there was a problem with their short-term memory. They couldn't remember when Moses stepped out there to the Red Sea. And I tell you, God made a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other side. And they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a problem. And it'll cause us to ask the question, is God among us or not? When we forget what God has done for us. In the very previous chapter, they got hungry. Chapter 16, read it. They got hungry. You know what God did? God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some manna. Oh, listen this morning. There was a problem. Here they are in chapter number 17 and they're thirsty. And they have forgotten that the God that can rain manna from the sky can surely give them something to drink along the way. Oh, beloved friend, they forgot what it was like in Egypt. The Egyptians, the Bible said, made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage. Let me tell you something right now. If this ever starts to creep up in your life, is the Lord among us or not? Let me tell you what do. Go back and remember when you lived in Egypt. Go back and remember when there was a taskmaster in your life, when sin had dominion over you. I tell you, don't you ever forget, amen, that God brought you out of Egypt and God delivered you from your sin. Oh, beloved friend, Egypt is a type of the world. What kind of a problem could we have in the church that would compare to the problem that we faced in the world when we were dead in trespasses and sin? Think about that. And then there was a problem. My friend, listen, they forgot their helper, what it was like in Egypt, how that God delivered them from Egypt, how that they crossed the Red Sea, how that God had just fed them with manna. They just forgot. They forgot. They forgot. Let me encourage you this morning to remember. I asked Bob a while ago. I said, Bob, 3 years ago, did you think you would be doing what you're doing right now? He said, no, I didn't. You say, what was Bob doing? He was down under the pew picking up crayons and putting them back in the box. 3 years ago, Olivia wasn't here. He didn't think about a grown man being down under the pew picking up crayons. Amen. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget what God's done for you. Don't ever forget how that God has given us a responsibility for all these children. Don't ever forget that God's given us the missionaries. They're a gift to the church. Don't ever forget that God's given us the evangelists. That's a gift to the church. Don't ever forget that God has given us His Word. God has given us a song in our heart. God has given us a field to labor in. Don't ever forget what God has done for us. There was a problem with their memory. Secondly, the cause for such a question. There was a problem with their murmuring. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, in verse number 1, the Bible said here that, there was no water to drink. In verse number 3, in the first part, the Bible said the people thirsted and the people murmured against Moses. They murmured. They complained. They were unsatisfied. They were not content. The Bible said godliness
with contentment is great gain. They murmured because of the perpetual dryness. I'm going to be honest with you. There are times, even where I'm standing, trying to do my best to preach the Word of God, there are times when it just sends a little bit of dryness. Maybe pastor hadn't prayed like he ought to. Amen. Maybe somebody else ain't prayed like they ought to. Maybe there's something going on in our life that's displeasing to God. Oh, beloved friend, listen. Sometimes there's a dryness. And if we're not careful, it'll cause us to murmur. Amen. And then they murmured because of the perceived deadness. You say, what do you mean, perceived? The Bible said, wherefore is this, in verse number 3, that thou brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children with cattle and thirst? Honey, they had given up. They said, Moses, you brought us out here to die. In other texts, you find where it was in their heart, we'd have been better off in Egypt. Yeah. Oh, beloved friend, they weren't saying that when they were making the bricks. They weren't saying that when the taskmaster was coming down on them. Beloved friend, sometimes the devil will deceive you in that time of dryness. I read this. A monk joined a monastery and he took a vow of silence. After the first 10 years, his superior called him in and he asked the monk, he said, do you have something to say? The monk replied, food bad. After another 10 years, the monk again had an opportunity to voice his feeling. He said, bed hard. Another 10 years went by and again he was called in before his superior. When asked if he had anything to say, he responded, I quit. His superior said, it doesn't surprise me a bit. You've done nothing but complain ever since you've been here. You mark this down, honey. You mark this down. Take it or leave it. You let that murmuring go far enough in your heart and in your life, and before you know it, you'll quit. You let that question get big enough in your heart and in your life, is the Lord among us or not? And before you know it, you won't be found in the house of God. Before you know it, you won't be found with the Bible open. Before you know it, you won't be found on your knees. Before you know it, you won't be found with a burden in your heart for someone that's lost. Is the Lord among us or not? The cause for such a question. There was a problem with their memory. There was a problem with their murmuring. And then there was a problem with the man of God. Actually, this is a perceived problem. They thought they had a problem with the man of God. By the way, beloved, let me just stop and say this. There'll be times if a man of God preaches this book when you'll think you've got a problem with the man of God too. But your problem won't be with the man of God. Your problem will be with the God of the man that's preaching that book right there. Honey, the man of God that preaches the truth. If it's in that book, honey, you better move towards it. Amen. Don't you worry about it. It might rub you the wrong way. Somebody said, that rubs my fur the wrong way. Somebody else said, turn the cat around. Amen. That's the problem. It's not rubbing the fur the wrong way. The cat's headed in the wrong direction. God wants us to understand. Here they said, they chided with the man of God. In verse number 2 and verse number 7, I looked that word chide up and it means to toss. It means to grapple. It means to wrangle. It means to hold a controversy. It means to complain. It means to contend. And it means to debate. They chided with the man of God. Secondly, they were ready to stone the man of God. You think about this just a moment. Brother, God set this thing up. Pastor didn't set it up. This church didn't set it up. God set this thing up. And the very thing they needed was going to come through the man that they were ready to stone. God set it up. God set it up. Let's go on in the message. The chill in such a question. You say, preacher, what do you mean the chill? Well, There was coldness. There was coldness in their faith. They weren't believing God. There was coldness in their families. Let me just stop and say a word right here. Mom and Dad, be careful what you say in front of your children. If there's a chill in your heart, it won't be long. There'll be a chill in their heart too. How many knows I just told it right? And if there's a fire in your heart, honey, I tell you, there's a good chance there'll be a fire in them youngins' heart too. Amen. There's a coldness here. Then there's a coldness in their future. They didn't know it. God, I'll get to it in a minute. It's fixing to give them water. But let me read you a text. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 26, the Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which murmur against me." See, God didn't see them as murmuring against Moses. God saw them as murmuring against him. And the Bible said, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." Beloved, there was a chill in their faith. There was a chill in their families. And God pronounced a chill in their future. Beloved friend, there's a cause for such a question. There's a chill in such a question. Let me tell you something right now. Best thing you can do with a chill, when you take a chill, is wrap up. Brother John, you was talking about this old book. Best thing a child of good God can do when you take a chill is wrap up in the Word of God. Best thing you can do when you take a chill is wrap up in the house of God. The best thing you can do when you take a chill and begin to think something like, "Is the Lord among us or not?" is to wrap up in the promises of God. Oh, beloved friend, let's look number three. This morning at 7 o'clock, I didn't know I could preach. My throat, I didn't know that I could. But God, I'm so grateful. I hate to stand here and feel like I'm being an annoyance to God's people. Help me. Help me finish, Lord. Number three, the cure for such a question. How in the world, when such a question is asked, is the Lord among us or not? How in the world can we find the cure? Well, the cure can be seen here in the Scripture. He said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, the Bible said in verse number one, the Bible said, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed." And then it said, "according to the commandment of the Lord." Brother John made a statement in Sunday school that's so true. He talked about Old Testament saints. And he said something to the effect that we have more going for us than they did. We have a Bible that's complete. We have the Holy Ghost that comes into the believer and never leave us, never forsake us. Amen. We're without excuse. You say, "Preacher, the cure, what do you mean for such a question?" Well, let me ask you something. If we have the Bible And God said, here you see the congregation of the children of Israel. If you have the Bible, and it says when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I want to ask you a question this morning. Can we believe the Bible? Can we believe if we get together in the name of Jesus that He's in the midst? That takes the question and throws it out the window. Instead of saying, is He in the midst? Is God among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? We can come in singing, hallelujah, He's among us. I brought Him with me. He goes everywhere with me. Now, be a good time to say something. I got a King James Bible in front of me. I intend to die with a King James Bible in front of me. Maybe my wife will lay a King James Bible on top of me in that casket. That'd be all right. Maybe open it up to my life verse of Scripture. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servant, for Jesus' sake. I'd be all right. But let me just say this. I believe when a man of God gets up and opens a King James Bible and begins to read, God's people ought to say, He's among us. You say, what do you mean? I mean that Jesus, my friend, listen, is the written Word of God. The Word of God said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the living Word of God. He's the written Word of God. He's eternal, settled in the heavens. We see it in the Scripture. By the way, the Bible used that word journey. Brother Gary, we're going somewhere. Amen. You say to me, what do you mean, preacher? We're going somewhere, honey. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We're leaving here after a while. We're on a journey. The Bible said here there's a cure. The cure could be seen in the Scripture. Secondly, the cure can be seen in the shepherd. What do you mean, preacher? Watch what the Bible said in verse number 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Buddy, I believe Moses knew they were serious. This definition I read a while ago about chiding, grappling, wrangling, tossed, contending and debating. I believe they were in the man of God's face, don't you? He said, Lord, they're ready to stone me. You say, what do you mean the cure can be seen in the man of God? Well, let me give you this. Notice, first of all, the prayer of the shepherd Moses. Instead of the man of God responding in the flesh, the man of God went to God and said, God, what shall I do? The Bible said he prayed unto the Lord. Can I tell you this morning, there'll be times when your pastor don't know what to do, but there'll never be a time when your pastor's Savior won't know what to do. Never. Can be seen in their shepherd. We notice the prayer of the shepherd Moses. Notice the position of the shepherd Moses. Look at verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. I want you to see that. The shepherd was not behind them, pushing them or driving them, but the shepherd was out in front of them, leading them. He said, come on. I know y'all are ready to stone me, but come on. God's got something for you to see. God's got another drink of water. You're not going to die in the wilderness. Your cattle aren't going to die. Your children aren't going to die. Come on. God's got an answer. Oh, it might be dry, but God's fixing to pour water on him that's thirsty. that was seen in the position of the shepherd Moses. But then it could be seen in the passion of their shepherd Moses. What do you mean by that, preacher? Exodus 32:32, they had another bout of unbelief. And God said, Moses said to the Lord, he said, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out of thy book, which thou hast written." Some people would read the story and the journeys of Moses and the children of Israel, and they might say something like this: "Why in the world did the man of God put up with that? Why in the world didn't the man of God do something about that?" I'll tell you why. The man of God loved the people. And he let God handle the situation. I'm not real smart, but I know what happens when I try to handle a situation. I take a mess and make it messier. But honey, God can handle the situation. He can take a mess and turn it around, make something wonderful out of it. Notice the passion of the shepherd. The cure could be seen in the scripture. The cure could be seen in their shepherd. Let me give you this hurriedly in closing. The cure could be seen in their Savior. I never picked up on this, Brother Larry. In all my studies, I'd never picked up on this before. Brother Rose, God told Moses, go on before the people. God told Moses, you take that rod that you've been using and you smite the rock. Brother Rick, I never picked up on this. How was he supposed to know which rock to smite? There's a lot of rocks, Brother Grizzle, out there in that wilderness. How was he supposed to know? I want to show you. Come here, come here, come here, come here with me just a minute. This will bless your heart. Look at Exodus 17 and verse number 6. The Bible said, I will stand before thee there upon the rock. Brother Rose, I don't believe the people seen him standing there. But Moses saw him standing, Brother Ralph, on the very rock that he was to smite. You can study your Bible in Hebrews. The Bible said that rock that followed them was Christ. The reason the rock was to be smitten this first time is because it was in God's plan to smite the Son of God that our sins might be forgiven. The reason he was to speak to the rock the second time is because the Son of God would only be smitten once, never be smitten again. I'm going to tell you something right now. How many's listening to me? Brother David, down in your heart, have you ever wondered sometimes, is the Lord among us or not? Maybe it never come out of your mouth, probably never did. Maybe families, when they're going through some kind of a really tough trial, maybe the wife thinks, is the Lord among us or not? Maybe the husband thinks, is the Lord among us or not? Maybe a teenager thinks, is the Lord among us or not? Let me give you a prayer request this morning. I'll tell you what to take care of the dryness in any church. And that is, Brother Joe, if people didn't just see the shepherd, but they saw the one that's standing upon the rock. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you mean. Now, wait a minute. If you go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, this man Moses, the Bible said, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I'm just going to tell you something. When sinners come in this building, they don't need to see the facility. No, they will. The man that was here this morning, Brother Houston, said, this is a beautiful church. But that's not what they need to see. If all they see is the facility, they might say, is the Lord among us or not? Same goes for the saints of God. If all you see is pews and carpet and paint, and my friend, you might think, well, is the Lord among us or not? They could see Moses, and they still ask the question. When people come in this church, they need to see more than a pastor. They need to see, Brother Ralph, I thank my God for the choir, but they need to see more than a choir. They need to see more than someone at the piano, the organ, singing a special, playing the guitars. I'm telling you, we need to see Jesus. You say, preacher, why do you think we don't see him more often than we do? Well, I think you could wrap it up like this. We ain't looking for him. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. When the saints go to looking for him, it won't be long. There'll be sinners looking for him too. He was saying, Brother Larry, go on before him. When you get out there, you'll know which rock I'll be standing right on top of. And Brother Steve, so much more is going on here. The Savior of the world is standing on top of the rock, but he's looking towards a day, brother, when he'll be smitten at Calvary. And out of that rock is going to flow rivers of living water. That every thirsty sinner, generation after generation after generation, can get a drink of living water because of the price that he was willing to pay at Calvary. I don't know about you this morning. I hope and pray to God, Brother Wayne, that I can beat down the thought even in my mind and in my heart and never again, never again, never again even entertain the thought, is the Lord among us or not? When the Bible got here, he got here. When the children of God got here, he got here. You go to singing about the blood, the book, the blessed hope. Hallelujah, he's here. He's in our midst when we're gathered together in his name. We need to see him who loved us and gave himself. Was it Philip? I think it was Philip. He said something like this, Brother Eddie. He said, sirs, we would see Jesus. You want to know what happened to Paul on the Damascus Road? He saw something besides the road. He saw something besides the church that he was going to persecute. He saw something besides himself. He saw something besides his learning, his education. He saw a Savior. The Savior shined the light. And it made all the difference in the world in his life. I appreciate you coming this morning. Anytime I preach like this, I always fear being misunderstood. But I'll guarantee you, if you've been in church very long, you've probably sat through a service sometime or another and thought, Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? When what we ought to be doing, say, Lord, I see you. Thank you, Brother John, for this precious old book that you give us. Thank you for the saints of God. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you for the shepherd. Help us now. I see you. Help others to see you. Brother Kevin, I see you. Help somebody else, Lord, to see you. He's in the midst. Let's see him. Let's shout glory when we do. Let's sing unto him. Let's stay with this old book. We're too far down the trail to give up on it now. Church after church after church, they associate the Lord being in the midst with a big hand clap. Sounds like they're in a concert somewhere. Well, I said it, and I ain't taking it back. They associate the Lord being in the midst when they get in the flesh real good and go to bebopping. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for my papa, and it's good enough for me. It's good for our fathers, good for our mothers. It's good enough for me. Let's pray. Father, I sure do thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to stand in this place, preach this old book. Thank you for being in our midst. Lord, I've learned a lot from the children of Israel in this text. I've learned a lot from the man of God in this text. Lord, I've learned a lot from you in this text. Never did think, Lord, how did Moses know which rock to smite? He didn't go out there and just pick out any rock. It was the rock that was identified with the Savior. That rock was Christ. Lord, the water came gushing out. There was plenty of water. God, the problem we have in our generation is not a water problem. It's a thirst problem. Help us, Lord, as the children of God, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Help the sinner, Lord, to get thirsty for what he needs to deliver him from this sin-cursed world.